Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good evening, everybody. Hallelujah, you can be seated. I tell you, I was sitting down there laughing. I hear Pastor Brad say all these nice things. I'm like, who's he talking about? Praise the Lord. No, you know, he reminded me of some things and some people along the way that I almost kind of forgot about. But, you know, there was that second generation after your generation that came up under pastor and mentoring. And, you know, I look around in the churches and, you know, where did they go? But we just can't have quit in us, you know. We can't have quit. We'll face adversity. We'll face trials. We'll face tribulations. But if through all of that we purpose that I'm not quitting. I've heard Pastor Nancy Dufresne said once, you'll just win if you don't give in. That's all it takes to win sometimes. There's times that you might be going through something, and no matter what you're going through, you just say, I'm not giving up. That's victory. That's victory. You don't have to hang the flags high from the ceiling. Just not giving up is getting through it, and is getting through it victoriously. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm so excited to be here tonight. You know, this is, of course, my first time ministering in Jamestown, and just honored for an opportunity to fill this pulpit. You know, I fill in for Pastor Mike Anderson quite a bit, and, of course, Pastor Jeff sometimes as well, and Pastor Michael in Fredonia. And I say this at any time I get into a family church pulpit, but I understand it's humbling to be in one because I understand the magnitude of what that means. You know, we're so safe in the family churches. You know, and I want to encourage anyone. I don't know everybody here tonight, of course, but if you're a visitor in this place this evening, you are in a safe place tonight. If you maybe came to Easter and you got born again on Easter, praise the Lord, your life's never going to be the same. And I encourage you to get planted in a church like this. Get planted here. What does that mean? That just means to come to services. Sit under the pastor. Receive from him. Receive from what he preaches out of the Word of God. Don't get offended by it. Don't get your feathers ruffled by it. It may be uncomfortable for a hot minute, but you'll get through it. And I promise you, when you do, you know, you always got to, when somebody cooks a great meal, usually it comes after it's been on the fire, right? You want to be something great in the kingdom of God, you got to get through the fire. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, but you are safe in this place. You're blessed. You know, when I realized that I was called to be a pastor, this was years ago. Of course, my wife knew well before I did. Thankfully, she didn't tell me. Because if she had told me, well, then I'd be camping on that word during trial and tribulation and not the word of the Lord. And one of them's my firm foundation. I love my wife very much, but she's not the word of God for me. But when I realized I was called the pastor, I started coming out here to midweek services for a while because I wanted to see a true pastor in operation. And I came to Pastor Tim's church, to your pastor, because he is a true pastor. He flows in that office to a magnitude unrivaled in the body of Christ. I mean, and you all know this, those of you that have been faithful here for a long time, you can attest to how your life's been changed by the word that's been taught, their love and compassion for the people, how they've given their life for this work, and the Erie work, of course. And but you're blessed to be here. I encourage you to stay faithful here. Stay with it. Praise the Lord. But that's not, we're talking about faithfulness tonight. I want to talk about healing tonight. Praise the Lord. And along that line, I'm going to share with you a testimony that I have about how God supernaturally healed our son Joshua. And some of you may have heard this before. I've shared it in Fredonia. I've shared it in some of the churches before. But it just seemed good to me to minister on this line tonight. But I want to encourage you on something. First, too, is if you're going through something, you know, faith is faith, right? I mean, we can talk about healing here tonight, but at the root of it, it's faith, right? There was a time that I needed a financial miracle in my life. I mean, we were going down fast. And we've probably all been in those situations before. Looked like there was no way out. And I went to church and I said, Lord, I need something tonight. I need my answer tonight. I didn't ask him for money. I asked him for my answer, right? There's a ticket right there as well. When we go to church, we're looking for answers, not handouts, right? We're being taught how to believe God for these things. And so Pastor Michael opened the service that night, and I need a financial miracle. And he says, okay, we're going to teach on healing. Well, my balloon just deflated like that. I mean, somebody let it go, and it fluttered all around the room making noise, and it landed with a splat. And I thought, oh, but I need a financial miracle. I need faith for finances. Well, wouldn't you know that God, in his infinite wisdom and love and mercy, delivered my answer to me that night while Pastor's teaching on healing? Because why? Faith is faith, right? Faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is how we please God. Faith is how we get to the other side of every trial that we go through. So I encourage you tonight, if you need faith for something, just hook onto the Word tonight. Amen? Stirs my faith just ministering on it. Praise the Lord. I trust you'll be stirred as well. So why don't we pray before we get into the Word? Father, we thank you for an opportunity to hear the Word of God. We thank you that it's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And Lord, we thank you that you challenge us with it. You grow us with it. But it's because you love us and you want to see us victorious in life. Lord, as I speak tonight, I thank you that I speak as the oracles of God, that whatever you want said in this service is said. Whatever you want done is done here tonight. Thank you, Father, for helping us. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for ministering to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. Hebrews 11. The word's good, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. And I want to encourage you again, if you're new here, if you're visiting here tonight, make sure you come back and hear Pastor Tim minister here. He is the pastor of this church. I've said this before in places in Fredonia. Somebody actually got up. They came back, but they got up. But I said, if you're going to choose between being here tonight or when pastor's here, come back when pastor's here. Just go ahead and go right now. But, and they actually stood up and started, it was a joke, but kind of, I was like, oh, okay, go ahead. I mean, I'm serious. That's where your help's at, but wow, go for it. Praise the Lord. So Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter, praise the Lord. We're going to look at verse 6 first. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is one of the first scriptures after I got born again that I camped on in my Bible, that I made my own way. I wanted to be pleasing to God, right? I mean, that's our goal after we're born again. How do we please God? How do we make our Father happy? I mean, he loves us no matter what, you understand? I love my children no matter what. I'm not always pleased with them. Sometimes they do. I could be more pleased with you than I am at this moment in time. I love you, but I'm not pleased with you. Well, our Father in heaven, of course, he's better than we are. But at the same time, it works the same way. He loves us no matter what. His unconditional love is greater than the universe. But we can be pleasing to him more or less. And if the Bible tells us how to do it, well, we ought to desire that. We ought to seek after that. So without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. Well, that sounds easy, right? Just believe in God. Well, if that was all it took, there's a whole lot of religions out there that hit the nail on the head. There's a whole lot of religions that have a God, that have many gods, and they believe in them. So if that's all it took, well, great. Almost all the world's got it taken care of. But we know that's not the case. So there must be something more here to this scripture, right? Well, if it says, believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, it's not just believing in God that gets the job done. That's not faith. Because plenty of people believe in God that don't believe in Jesus. Plenty of people believe in God that aren't born again. They believe that there's a higher power, a deity somewhere up there. I mean, AA goes through the 12 steps, and you have to believe in a higher power. That doesn't mean they're believers. It doesn't mean they're born again. No, we need the name of Jesus, right? But when the Bible says this here, that means that we not only have to believe that he exists, but that he is who the Word says he is. That he is God, but that he also sent his son Jesus to die for us. And that his son was also God. That we also have the Holy Ghost who can be our helper and our guide on this world, who is also God. And all of that, that surpasses how our minds can understand it. But when we believe those things, that's our key to faith. That's our key to victory. Believing that he is, but also that he's exactly who we need him to be in the moment. If you need healing, he's your healer. Right? If you need finances, he's your provider. If you need love, he's your father. If you need forgiveness, he's your merciful forgiver. Whatever we need him to be, we find out who the Bible says he is in that situation, and that's who he becomes to us. That's why our God is so much better than any other God that's out there. Of course, we know there aren't any. You understand what I'm saying. But the truth of it is that our God is far above everything else that anyone can think up because he's everything to us. He's all we need him to be in any given moment. Praise the Lord. But to know these things, we have to know him. We have to know his character. And to do that, we have to spend time with him. You can't get to know somebody unless you spend time with them. The Message translation of this scripture says it's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and, listen to this, that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. That he cares enough. Your Father cares for you. as a pastor, I meet with people and I counsel them and I talk to them about the Word. And really, I'm just pointing them to the Word and, you know, the things that are in there. But that's the pastor's job, is to help people understand the Word, to help them see it. And so many times I see in believers where we get discouraged because we get so concerned with pleasing God that we forget He's our Father. We forget that He loves us, that He sent Jesus for us. I've counseled people and I've cried with them and I just said, no, you're missing the whole point. He loves you. He loves you. That's why we can believe God for things. That's why God can heal us, because He loves us. That's why He provides for us, because He loves us. When we get into trials and tribulations, we get so caught up with trying to hit the nail on the head, the steps of faith. The, okay, I do this now, and then I do this. Have I forgiven everybody? Okay, now I've done that. We forget about the whole picture. It's our Father. He loves us. That's why He gave us victory in life. That's why He made us overcomers. Amen? And so when we remember that He cares enough, that's how we believe God for things. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 10. And these are all scriptures that you've probably heard once or twice before, but faith comes by hearing. And we're going to see that here in Romans chapter 10. Because faith for healing, faith for finances comes like any other topic of faith. When we hear the Word of God taught on a subject, our faith is strengthened on that subject. Romans 10 and verse 17. I know you know it, but it's important to have it before our eyes. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we know that in order to get faith, and that's what faith is just knowing who God is. We think, how do we quantify faith? It's knowing who your Father is. That's faith. Knowing He's your healer. That's faith. That's all it is. And when we see that that's how faith comes, by being in the Word of God, then we know what we need to get the answer to victory. And that's why we have to spend more time in the Word of God than just during church services, right? You know, we went on Sunday, I took my family, we went down to Pittsburgh for the night, and we spent the night there, then we went to the zoo on Sunday morning. And you know what's amazing is how I filled up my gas tank, but after going to Pittsburgh, I had to fill it up again. Why? I used up what was in there. What would have happened if I hadn't filled up my gas tank? I would have been struggling, right? I would have been down and out. I would have been, here's my family, my three happy little children who've been riding in a car for 3 hours, stuck in the hot car. And I'm sure everybody would have been just smiles and happiness, right? If you've ever been on a road trip with little kids, praise the Lord. We've got faith for the impossible, but I don't know if I'm quite there yet. And if I hadn't filled up my tank like I was supposed to, I would have been struggling. Well, so many believers, folks, are coming, and they're only filling up twice a week or once a week. And they're on the road trip of life. And, you know, when I'm around town, that's one thing. But if I want to go somewhere, I've got to fill things up a little more. Well, there's folks that don't go anywhere. They don't do anything in the things of God, in the body of Christ. And so maybe for them, Sunday morning's enough. But they're never going to do anything. They're never going to see anything of God. They're never going to go anywhere with Him. But I want to do something for Him. I want to be effective for Him. And to do that means I've got to fill up more than just twice a week. Right? You can't drive from here to California and see the country and only fill up once or twice. It takes a lot more than that. We fill up on the Word of God more than just on the services that we're taught it, so that we can go places with Him, do things for Him. Amen? Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to get some finger flipping going on here for a bit. Then I'll start talking to you about what Jesus did for us. Praise the Lord. It's important that we see, and you know this, but everything we talk about is in the Word of God. Matthew 7, verse 24, says, therefore, whosoever hears, this is Jesus talking, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man. How'd you like to be likened to a wise man? Yeah, I am. You get it? Okay. Which built his house upon a rock. Some of you will get that in a little bit. My last name's Wise. Okay, there you go. All right. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, there's so much we could spend, more than a week teaching on these scriptures and getting everything out of them that Jesus talked about. probably not even getting into it as much as what is there. But to stand against the storms of life that we go through, our life has to be founded on the Word of God. And we know this, but what does that mean? That means that the time to build the foundation of something is not when you're in the midst of the storm, right? When the storm is raging, you want to be in the house that's already been built. You know, I don't know much about construction, but from what I do understand of it, if there's a hurricane going on, they're not laying the foundation for a property, right? That's the time that everybody's either gotten out of the way or has battened up the hatches and they're riding through the storm. But so many times, we get to this point where, oh, I'm in a storm. Okay, what did Pastor say? What's the Word say? Now, I got to go fight. No. Know the Word by that point. Build your foundation by that point. That's not the time to get to be knowing your Father, right? I mean, there's a reason arranged marriages don't really go that way, right? Why? Because you want to get to know your spouse before your wedding day, right? Otherwise, things are going to be weird. Things are going to be awkward, and I'm not getting into details, but you want to know that person. You want to be comfortable with that person. You're going to spend the rest of your life with that person. That's not the day to say, oh, hi, I'm marrying you. Okay, let's go get married, right? No, it's the same thing with the things of God. Know your Father before the storms come, because that's not the time to start being like, well, God, you know, I was just diagnosed with terminal cancer. What does your Word say about healing? No, know what the Word says. Already be aware of Him. And if you don't yet and you're facing a trial, don't get into condemnation about it. But this is the time to start, okay, I've got to get ready. Not that we go through life being fearful of the storms that'll come our way. But James said that we will encounter trials and tribulations. So recognizing that is being wise, is using wisdom, like the man that built his house upon a rock. There's a reason that that was called wisdom, because he was prepared for what was coming. Whether he wanted it or not, it was coming. You know, last year we had a fire at the Fredonia Church, remember? Pastor Michael calls it a campfire. I remember it a little differently than that, but whatever, to each their own, I guess. His faith is bigger than mine, so he sees the roaring inferno as a campfire, so okay. But when that happened, there was a reason that we as a church could react with joy, could react with confidence, knowing, could react with victory, an attitude of victory, and not be devastated by it. Why? Because we already knew who God was. You know, the news cameras would come and they'd interview us, and I say, this is what faith is for. This is why we're taught faith, so that when these storms come, we're not blown apart by them. And it was amazing, a testimony that was able to have in our community. We won awards from the Chamber of Commerce. I mean, all sorts of recognition from news organizations, businesses in the area, simply because we weren't devastated because a thing happened to us. And it was, well, of course we're not. I know who my God is. I know He's going to take care of us. And that's the same with any storm of life that we go through. Know your Father ahead of time. So going into it, you're not trying to get to know Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that we're talking about all that, I'm going to share with you about how God healed our son. And my son Joshua was born November 30th, 2010. So he is 8 years old right now. Love that. He's my little ginger. Love that little boy. And my goal tonight, all right, is to get through this message without crying. I'm not making any promises because I have not yet any time I preach this message. But we'll see. I also want to let you know that the last time I preached this message was the week before the fire. So, just kidding. We'll be good. Praise the Lord. So, my wife and I had been married, you know, not even a year when we found out we were pregnant. And we were very young at the time. We got married when I was 21 and she was 19, I think. So I was still 21 when we found out that she was pregnant. And early on in the pregnancy, she had some symptoms of a miscarriage. And I'll tell you, it almost destroyed me. And it was, I mean, minor looking back on it, you know, and everything we've been through now, I'm like, oh, that was easy. But at the time, it shook my world. I was devastated. I broke down sobbing. I was terrified. I thought, but that was a sign to me. She didn't end up miscarrying, praise, obviously, Joshua's here. But that was a sign to me that, okay, I need to batten up my hatches. My foundation is not firm in this area. If I'm going to be a father, I need to have faith for my child. I need to have faith that we're not going to be destroyed. And so I began going through the scriptures and finding scriptures about being a parent, finding scriptures about the promise of healing to children and how God would oversee our house and how the fruit would not be cast before its time, and scripture after scripture. Why? I wanted to reinforce my foundation. I wanted to build myself up on that, not because I wanted something bad to happen, but because I saw where I was at if something was going to happen, and it wasn't a way to victory. I knew we'd go down. And so recognize that in yourself. Don't be too proud to admit if your faith is faltering in an area. Don't take condemnation about it. Oh, I need more faith. Well, get more faith. No. Okay, I need more faith. Get more faith. My wife says I'm too black and white sometimes, but it's pretty clear to me. If I need more faith, I'm going to get more faith. How do I get more faith? The Word of God, right? That's what it boils down to, but I got 45 minutes to talk about it. So I realized I needed to patch up my foundation. So fast forward here. That was in April of 2010. Now, October of 2010, which is, of course, the month before he was born, but, you know, October is Pastor Ministry Appreciation Month, right? And we've always, of course, we appreciate our ministers and our pastors, and I'm so grateful for everything that they've put into us. And so I wanted to honor them that month. And we were, of course, you know, we'd only been married about a year at that time, and we didn't have much money at all, but God put a number on our hearts to sow to our pastors and some of the other pastors in the family churches. And at that time, it was a huge number to us. I mean, I look back on it, I said, oh, okay, let's do it. But, of course, God, you know, challenges us more now than he did before. But back then, I mean, that was twice what our month's rent was going to be. It was huge to us, and I didn't have it. Well, we believed God for it. The money came in, and so we sowed this money. And I thought, okay, great. You know, we sowed money. We sowed a big seed. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you more about that later. Just remember that portion. So fast forward again, November 29th, we're driving to the hospital. He was born on the 30th, and she was being induced on the 29th of November. So we're driving to the hospital. Now, if you can put these scriptures up on the screen real quick, Proverbs 20, 27. And again, you know all these, but I wanted you to be reminded of these things. Proverbs 20, 27 says, "The spirit of man, or where God resides, where the Holy Spirit resides in you, is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." So go ahead and put up John 16, 13 for a second, please. John 16, 13. We know that our spirit resides in this area, in our stomach. That's where God leads and guides us from. That, you know, hunger pangs aren't the spirit of God, right? We've got to know the difference there. There was one woman that came to me and said, you know, I get stomach aches, and I don't know if it's God talking to me or what's going on. So I said, take some papaya, and you'll be able to hear the voice of God. And her life changed. I mean, we complicate these things. Sometimes it's simple, right? So we know that's where the spirit is. That's where we're led and guided from. And then John 16, 13 says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." So knowing the Holy Spirit is our guide, knowing he's our helper, knowing he'll show us the future, knowing how he talks to us through that inward witness in the Spirit. And I'm blazing through all this because I know you know it, but it's just reminding you of it, getting into the message tonight, talking about this, that's where that leading will come from. And so November 29th, we're driving to the hospital. And I don't know if you know Dunkirk, Fredonia that well, but driving from Fredonia to Dunkirk, one of the best ways to get there is Route 60, and you drive over the thruway. And as I can remember the exact spot where it was, as we're driving over the thruway, in my heart, I just had a check. Stop. Stop. And why? I want to meet my son. I mean, you know, here I am. I'm young. I'm excited to meet my son. The doctors say it's the time to do it. And so, okay, we've got to go do this. And I overrode it. And looking back on it, it was no great thing. There was no audible voice of the Holy Ghost. Don't do it. That didn't happen. It was just stop. That's how God leads us. That's how he guides us. That's how he wants to get us into his perfect will of God. Amen. And I overrode that in that time. And we'll get to more about that. But God, that was God, our loving Father, our helper, trying to prevent what was about to happen to me. Trying to stop what was about to happen. God knows, the Holy Spirit knows what's coming. So when we get those leadings, when we get those guidings, that's the time to listen to them. Sometime they'll be go in this direction. Sometime they'll be stop from this direction. Most of the time they're stops before they're goes. And so keep moving on something until you get a stop sign. right? We know this stuff, but that's what happened to me that morning, that I got that stop sign and I disobeyed it. I went forward with it. And now one thing I had to talk about with people too after I preached this message, so I always bring this out now, is that what happened after that point wasn't punishment for me disobeying God. I opened myself up to the enemy. You know, my kids, when they're in my house, when I can see them, they're under my protection. And I can keep them safe. I can keep them protected. But if my kid, my 8-year-old, my 5-year-old, were to go out in the front yard, where we live about 10 feet from the street, and we get these coach buses that drive up and down our street at 35 miles an hour, if my kid were to go out in the front yard, run in front of that coach bus, and got hurt, got hit, got killed, it wouldn't be my fault. That kid left the place of protection. Obviously, as a parent of a young child, it would be my fault. Why am I not watching my children? But you understand the illustration here, right? My 8-year-old knows better than to go run out in the middle of the road. And so if he did, I told you not to do that, right? This is God saying, I told you not to do that. I've opened myself up to damage, to hurt in my life because I stepped out of where he wanted me to be. So that's why it's so important we follow that leading of him. Not because he wants to hurt us, because he wants to help us. Amen? So let's see. Where am I going to go from here? Ba-da-da-da-da. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. You don't have to turn there again. We can put this one up on the screen there. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Talks about how Satan is the god of this world. Because of that, Satan is the god of this world. That means that when we step out of the will of God, when we step out of that protection, that's now we've opened ourselves up to his territory, right? And we know this stuff, but just be reminded of that if you're constantly getting run over by a bus, okay, maybe take a hint, right? Have I listened to God? Have I done what he's told me to do? Did I miss it somewhere? And this is so important. If you did miss it somewhere, just repent and make it right. Don't camp in the condemnation of missing it. I've been there. I don't remember almost 2 years of my life as an adult, and I'm talking in the past like 5 years, because I spent so long in condemnation. I don't remember so much of those 2 years because I was so encamped in condemnation of missing it, missing it, missing it. No, get over it. You missed it. Move on. That's what the blood of Jesus is for. It's not just for you to raise your hand and accept salvation one time and then you're spent in the wallows of Christianity forever. No, you are victorious, child of God. Amen. There's nothing that can hold you down. You are more than an overcomer. So when you miss it, repent and move on. There is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So I'll talk about that in a little bit too. So on the 29th of November, 7 a.m., they started her induction into labor, and she had 27 hours of real hard labor. It was hard on her. She'd, you know, hard on her body and things like that. But there was nothing on the machine. You know, they monitor the machine and the heart rates. There was nothing to show that there was any kind of an issue or anything. Nothing to say, okay, let's do an emergency C-section, which we weren't opposed to, of course. We wanted a healthy child. But nothing to show anything like that. And so now it's time, you know, Joshua's born. And he comes out, and the cord is wrapped around his neck. Which, you know, I read up on that beforehand, because I'm one of those people, I like to know what's going on. So you may judge me if you want, men, but I watched all the baby shows. I wanted to know what to expect. I didn't want to be caught off guard. I didn't want to be the guy that faints. Come on! No, I want to know what's going on. No offense if you did. You're still a child of God. He still loves you, okay? But I wasn't going to be that guy. I wasn't going to be the one that went out and, oh, what's going on here? What do I do? Okay. No, that's not how I like to be. I like to be in the know of what's going on. Of course, that's also my detriment sometimes because God doesn't always put me in the know of what's going on. So we have that relationship and we work that out sometimes. But so in this moment, I know that, okay, the cord's not supposed to be wrapped around the neck, but it's not that uncommon. And so they unwrapped it. I cut the cord. And then they take Joshua and they put him on the table. And I know from all these birthing shows I've watched, don't judge me, please. I know that this is the part where they start slapping the baby around and the baby's supposed to start crying. Well, I see Joshua on this table. First of all, he comes out. He's not the color that a newborn is supposed to be. He's bluish purple. So that's an indicator, first of all, that, okay, something went wrong here. Something's not right. And so they put him on the table. And then I noticed, okay, he's there. He's not moving. He's not flailing. His arms aren't clenched. His hands aren't clenched. Nothing is happening. And of course, they're smacking him around, trying to get life into him, trying to, you know, you don't have a problem with them smacking your child when they're first born, because they're just trying to revive them, get them out of this craziness of birth that they just went through. And I watched him, and I mean, his arms, and I don't want to get gross anybody out, but it was like wet noodles. Just, there was no stiffness to him, no motion whatsoever, no anything. And they're trying to revive him, and this is going on for, of course, it felt like an eternity in the moment. It was probably 30 seconds to a minute, which is a really long time to not be breathing, by the way, but on purpose. I mean, if you want to hold your breath for that long, go for it, but on it, anyways. And so I look over at that table. I've been watching him, and of course, they're still tending to my wife, and I look over at the table, and the one nurse, as they're flapping him, looks up at the other nurse and goes, "Well, all right, you want to talk about getting your world rocked for a second." And I knew in that moment that this was it. This was the make or break it moment. This was the time. There was no warning leading up to the storm. Obviously, I have that leading, but I didn't know that this was going to happen. There was no tornado bell that went off or anything like that. This was F5 slams the house, right? You see that face on a nurse, it does something to you. It can do something to you. It can either destroy you or you can get through it victoriously. Right? So what I did in that moment is I went to everything I knew about my father. It's amazing talking about this and how fast it happened then, but it just seems like it was so slow looking back, but it wasn't slow. But I knew who my father was. I knew that he was a healer. I knew that the name of Jesus was a name above every name. I knew that I would have what I said when I said it. I'd seen it work in my life. I've heard testimonies about it working. I'd seen it work in other people's life. This was nothing new to me to know who my father was. That's what I was talking about earlier. This was not the time for me to get... Okay, everybody just hold on. What does Mark 11:23 say? No, that's not the time to be searching for what scriptures you need, right? I knew what the word said, and so at that moment, knowing who my father was, knowing what he would do for me as a child of God, I pointed to my lifeless son and I said, "You breathe in Jesus' name." And in that moment, and of course, I didn't like shout it in the whole room, but I just, you know, with that was the intensity of my spirit, but I was just like, "You breathe in Jesus' name." And he started crying. Praise the Lord. And so the word, I'm so thankful for the word, because I wouldn't have my son if it wasn't for it. I wouldn't have my child if it wasn't for knowing what the word of God said about who my father is and what Jesus did for me. And that's not just me, that's for all of us, folks. He did that for all of us. He gave us a name above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and tongue confess that he is Lord. That means that no matter what you're facing, the name of Jesus is greater. I've been going through trials. I've been through tribulation. Not been going. I've been through trials and tribulations where the only thing I could get out of my mouth was the name of Jesus. It felt like I was being choked, like I was being smothered by the oppression, the depression that you go through in those trials, the condemnation. And I couldn't say anything except, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." You say that name above every name, and every situation will bow to it. If you can't get anything else out of your mouth, know the name of Jesus. Amen. And so in that moment, I spoke to my son. I told him to live, and he began breathing. Praise the Lord. And I'm so grateful for it. So as he's breathing, you know, we thought, okay, that was it. We got through it. We've got the victory. Praise the Lord. And so they did all his tests and things like that. He failed the first test. They do that Apgar test in the first minute or two of life. He failed the first one, did okay on the second one, not great. But they said, "That's not abnormal given what happened. We'll do one later." He scored better on it. Okay, so we thought everything's fine. So they, you know, they take him, they clean him up, and they bring him back to my wife, and we think everything's okay. And then the doctor comes in, and he says, "Listen, with how long he was without oxygen for, we want to take him up to Children's Hospital. We want to put him in the NICU and run all these tests and things on him because we want to make sure everything's okay." And so, of course, you know, that's fairly devastating. I mean, here's your first child. You have all these dreams of how it's going to go, and it didn't quite go that way. And so they, you know, but we said, "Okay, do what you got to do. You know, we trust you. You did kind of make this happen. But that's okay. Just do what you got to do. We'll get through it. Praise the Lord." And so they took him up to Children's Hospital, and I followed them up with my parents. And then Katie, of course, stayed in Dunkirk. And then that night I came home, after he had been there, and he was still up at Children's. That way Katie and I could go up the next day together after she was discharged. And so that night, around midnight, the hospital, Children's, called me. And they said that he had had a seizure, but it wasn't unusual given what had happened. And so I thought, oh, okay, that's, you know, thanks. We went back to bed and then just waited till the next morning. So the next morning, I called them when I first woke up. It was about 8 a.m. And I called and they said, well, he had over a dozen seizures since then that we're aware of. And so we've had to sedate him because these seizures are devastating to his body. And so they've had to completely sedate him to the point, you know, he's not moving or anything like that. He's, of course, alive. But that was the only way they could stop the seizures. So in that moment, I kind of began to realize the magnitude of what's going on here, right? That this is more than just what we went through the first time. And so I should have done this earlier, but in the moments I didn't. And I repented for disobeying God. And I didn't stay in condemnation for it. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I missed it. You tried to tell me not to come here, and I didn't listen to you. I'm sorry. Father, forgive me. And then that was it. And I left it there. Why? Because we leave things in the blood, right? Jesus forgave us for things. We don't dip them in the blood and then bring them back out. No, once they're in the blood, they're washed away forever. He forgets about them, so we have to too. And I began to, batten up my hatches even more. I got my Bible. I started getting scriptures again and just getting that stuff in me, feeding my spirit on it, knowing who my Father is. And I also called my pastor. You know, I always hesitate to bring this up because some people call their pastor or call the church the instant things start to, oh, the wind's blowing? Pastor, what do I do? No. Just get through it a little bit. You can do it. You know what the Word of God says, right? So many times we're handicapped just by thinking that I don't know what to do. I don't know. You do. It's in you. If you've been sitting in this church for any length of time, it's in you to get through the storms of life. It's in you to go through it. So don't have your first response be to call the pastor. Don't have your first response be to call somebody else. Our first response is always this, is the Word. Once you get everything secured, once you get yourself to a point that, okay, I can get through this, that's the time. I just wanted him to know so he could hook up with faith on me, faith with me. And so I told him what was going on, and of course, you know, he said, well, you'll get through this. He encouraged us, reminded us of who Jesus was, reminded us of what the Word says. And so then at that point, we drove up to Buffalo. I'm blazing through this, but Okay. So we drove up to Buffalo. And we got there, of course, we saw him. He's all sedated. He's all tubed up and things like that. He's got all these things poking in him, coming out of him and everything. And so at that point, the seizures hadn't stopped other than the sedation. So we laid hands on him and commanded the seizures to stop in Jesus' name. And they did. He never had another seizure after that. And that night, I took a recorder that I used to use. I worked as a newspaper editor for a number of years, and so I had one of those interview recorders. And I just spent an hour recording healing scriptures on there and encouraging him in positive words. And, you know, Joshua, you're going to get through this. You're victorious. You're a child of God. You're healed. You're whole. And I backed it up with scriptures. And I told the nurses, I gave them a pack of batteries in that recorder. I said, this never gets shut off. You never turn this thing off. This is on all the time. And they did. They left it on for us all the time. And I left that next to him. So the next day, he had an MRI and a brain scan done. And that showed areas of his brain that had, of course, lost oxygen when he was born and were effectively dead. They were completely non-functioning. They showed us the MRI, and it showed normally healthy gray matter, or healthy brain matter is gray on an MRI, and this was white, which meant there's just nothing there. There's no life there. And there were splotches all over his brain of that, all over. And so they said, first of all, it would take weeks of him being at the hospital before we'd even be able to go home, and that he would be developmentally disabled for the rest of his life. And when they said that, we started to feel, again, the effects of the storm. You know, you go through storms, and sometimes the wind's stronger than it is at other times. Sometimes the rain's coming down harder than it is at other times. And so we're going through that, and I recognized, okay, this is the time. And of course, I want you to know, like, we cried sometimes. I mean, I wish I could stand up here and say we had I cried. I cried like a baby a couple of times, but then I picked myself up, put my big boy pants on, put my army boots on, and said, no, we're getting through this. And of course, I was strong for my wife, too. You know, my place as a husband is to be the spiritual support in our home, to show her who I believe Jesus is. And there's too many weak-willed men out there that won't stand up and be men of God, won't believe what the Bible says about things. You know, we're preparing for Mother's Day. We do gifts for the mothers in the church. And of course we know, okay, Mother's Day, you always got to buy more gifts than Father's Day because there's more women than men in the church. It ought not be. It ought not be. Men ought to take their place. And of course, men here on a Wednesday night, you guys know this, but tell all your men friends where they ought to be in the will of God. And so at this time, one thing I want to mention too is that we kept this all, everything that was going on between us and close family and friends. You know, my heart always breaks when I go on Facebook and I see the posts about the massive national prayer chains for the children that are going through things. I mean, I've cried over those before because I see the comments on there and I see the things that people are praying. The things that people are praying for this. Oh, Lord, if it's your will, heal them. No. My desire maybe for attention, for love, for compassion from other people wasn't enough to overweigh my desire as a father to see my son well. If you're going through something, keep your mouth shut. I mean, if I can say that right, sorry, this is not my pulpit, but if you just keep it between you and your father. Tell a couple of close friends that you can agree with in faith, but man, it's not for the world to know. Tell them once you've got the victory, right? I don't tell people about stuff I'm going through. A couple of close people, hey, would you hook up with me on this? Yes, okay. And that's what we did at that point. We had maybe, you know, half a dozen friends of ours that we hooked up with faith. That's all I wanted. I wanted four people believing God the right way can do more than 100,000 believing the wrong thing. Amen? And be careful about who you allow into your faith. Be careful about that. You know, when to cast pearls before swine. You know, Acts 9, you don't have to turn there, but when Peter raised Dorcas from the dead, right? What did he have to do when he got there? There's all these women bewailing. And, oh, Dorcas is dead. I mean, they're just a mess over there, right? And so what did Peter do? He said, listen, get out. Take your anti-faith and get away from this, because this situation needs faith, right? So if you're going through a storm, don't just let all your anti-faith people in there. Keep it between you and people that know how to believe God. Amen? And so, let's see. That night, so this is the night of the MRI. That night, I was praying in our room up there, and I had a vision. You know, Acts 2 talks about visions that they're, you know, it's in Acts 2. Go ahead and read it sometime. You know what the word says about it. But in my spirit, as I was praying, I saw that MRI that they had showed us that day. I saw where all the dead spots on his brain were. And as I was praying, I told you I'm not going to cry, I saw another MRI next to it. And I saw the doctor telling us, with bewilderment on her face, there's no white spots. There's no dead spots here. And I took that, and I thanked God for it. But I grabbed hold of that. Now, the word is our answer, right? Visions are not what we base our faith on, but they do help our faith. And so I knew that, okay, we've got this. God has got this taken care of. We are getting to the other side of this. I saw his brain clear of any deformation whatsoever. Now, you remember I talked about that supernatural supply earlier and how we sowed that seed in October. And I wanted to share this because it's important that you follow the Holy Ghost when he tells you what to give. When he tells you what to do, because here I am up in Buffalo. My wife's not been working for a month. We're newlyweds. We don't have hardly any money at all. We don't have any money at all. Not hardly any. There is literally no money, all right? There is like, okay, I tithed this week and we ate a cheeseburger. This was victory, right? And so here I've got this. I'm so grateful to God that I got to experience things like that in life, knowing how to have to believe God. I left my job, my $50,000 salary last year to follow God, and it's been the greatest experience of my life. People are like, how are you? You went to the zoo? I heard that from family members. Doesn't the zoo cost money? I said, it does cost money, and I went there with it. Why? Because that's who God is. He provides for us, right? He takes care of us. So at this time, we had been led of God to sow that seed. And so now we're in this time. I'm up in Buffalo. I'm not working while I'm up there. I'm not doing, and I just started at my job that July, so I didn't have any vacation time at that point. We didn't have money in a savings account like you should. We had not intended to start a family yet, right? And so here's Joshua. Well, I still don't have money in my savings account at that point. And so it was, okay, well, here we go. We've got a kid. We've got to just believe God, learn how to believe God, and I'm thankful we did. But so we're up there. And supernaturally, money flew at us. I mean, I didn't write it all down. I wrote down as much as I could, but there's so many things I don't even remember about what happened, but money, just thousands of dollars more than what I would make at my job. my job allowed me to have 2 weeks paid vacation, even though I just started in July and I wasn't supposed to get it for another year. Our rent for that month had been completely forgiven. People throwing food at us, throwing gas money at us. I mean, throwing also, we came home, there was money in envelopes, checks everywhere. And God reminded me when I said, Lord, this is, thank you so much. Because I honestly, I hadn't even been believing for money. Because I was focused on Joshua, right? But because I followed the Spirit in giving before, I didn't have to believe God for money. It came. Why? Because the Bible says, give and it shall be given to you. Amen? And so when God's telling you to give something, do it. Because you don't know what's coming. You don't know what's ahead of you. You want to have everything in line the way God wants it to be so that when the storms come, you're prepared to go through them. Praise the Lord. So during all this, we're up in Buffalo. And, you know, the supply is coming in. Things are being taken care of supernaturally. And we're in the hospital. And, of course, we're hooking up our faith, believing God. And there were so many little miracles that happened in the midst of the big miracle, you know. And you look back and you thought, oh, yeah, that was great. But, you know, she wasn't able to feed him for the first 5 or 6 days of his life. And supernaturally, she was still able to breastfeed after that. Which is, they say, if you don't do it in the first day or two, you're not going to be able to. And just so many things, supernaturally, God answered us, God directed us, God led us, and God guided us, and got us through that. And so we're up there, Joshua's improving every day he's getting better. And the nurses are shocked at how well he's doing. The doctor says, oh, he's going to be here another 2 weeks at least. 3 days later, we went home. 3 days later, we went home. He passed every test he was supposed to pass with flying colors, and we brought home our healthy little boy. And today, he's 8 years old. He's in second grade now. And he has had straight A's every single year at school. Why? That's not developmentally disabled, right? No. Why? Because of who Jesus is. Because of what he will do for those people that want to believe him, that want what he has for them. So I want to encourage you here tonight. If you are believing God for something, you know, it's not just a matter of our faith, our victory, our answer, our Joshua. It's faith. It's faith. Faith is the way to please God. Faith is our answer to victory. When you're going through a trial, when you're going through a tribulation, find a scripture for what you're going through, and that will take you through to victory on the other side of it. That's our answer. Amen. That's our help. Go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 2. We'll close with this. I know it's probably a lot earlier than you normally close, but I'm used to preaching in Fredonia, so Romans chapter 2. It's not that funny. Romans 2 and verse 11 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. In the Amplified version, you can put that up because we downloaded it up there last week right during service. You remember that? So I know you got that up there. Romans 2:11 in the Amplified says, for God shows no partiality, undue favor, or unfairness. With him, one man is not different from another. Every time we hear the word of God taught, every time we hear testimonies, the thoughts will come to you from the enemy who want you to think that, oh, well, that's great, he's a preacher. Or, oh, that's great, he's the pastor, that'll work for him. No, it worked for us because I'm a child of God. My son is healthy today. He's smart. He's strong. He's funny. He's sarcastic. And I love it. He's got this brilliant sense of humor that I'm just like, bring it on, kid. This is great. He's like that because of this. Not because of this. Not because of my wife as wonderful, as much of a blessing as she is. It's because of this. So when you are going through this life, there will be storms that'll come your way. There will be trials that you're going to face. Don't be afraid of it. Don't live in fear of what's coming at you. But recognizing that and knowing what's ahead of you is the key to getting through it. You know, there's a reason that when people go into battle on the battlefield, right, they don't just go out there, okay, you joined the army, here, front line. No, there's a time of preparation. There's a time of preparing them for battle so that when they're there, they know how to handle themselves. They know how to compose themselves. They know how to get through it victoriously. They know how to win in what they're fighting against. You are a winner, folks. You are more than an overcomer, the Bible says. But how do you find that out? By getting in here. This is your boot camp, right? This is your help. This is your answer. When you get in this Word of God, going through a financial trial. Maybe you're not going through a financial trial. Find out God's promise on finances. Because I guarantee you, you will at one point. Find out what God says about healing, because I guarantee you're going to get the sniffles at one point in your life. And that's when you feel that tickle in the back of your throat. Is your first response, oh, I've got a cold coming? Or is it, no, Jesus is my healer? If that's your first response, good. If it's not, get in here and find out why it ought to be. Amen? Knowing who He is for us, knowing what He'll do for us, is our key to getting through life victoriously. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You so much for the help it is to us, Lord. Thank You for challenging us, for growing us, for building our faith in the things of God. Lord, we trust You as our Father, that You love us, that You care for us. Lord, that You sent Your only Son to die for us, not just for salvation, but so that we could have a victorious life here on earth. Lord, as our faith was challenged, was fed here tonight, I thank You, Lord, for spurring in us faith to get through things victoriously. Lord, I thank You that none of us will settle in this life for anything less than Your best. Your best is health. Your best is prosperity. Your best is peace. Father, that's our desire for our lives. And we thank You, Lord, for helping us to see that tonight, for feeding our faith so that we could walk victoriously in every arena of this life. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, I know it's a Wednesday night. It's probably a believers' meeting here tonight, but I don't know everyone here, so I want to give an invitation, because I'd hate to leave this place knowing there was a need spiritually and we didn't take care of it. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't know Him, you don't know that He was sent by God as His only Son because He loved humanity so much, but not just humanity, because He loved you individually so much that He sent Jesus to die for you on the cross, to rise from the dead so that you could be saved. If that's you here tonight and you want to accept Jesus into your heart, you want to make Him Lord of your life here tonight, I invite you to raise your hand right now. Praise the Lord. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Like I said, I don't know everyone here. Probably all born again, but wouldn't want to miss it. Or if you're here and you've walked away from God, Jesus told the story of the prodigal son that walked away from his father and expected nothing but anger and condemnation when he went back home. But when he got there, his father was there with open arms to welcome him back in. That's how your heavenly Father is. If you've walked away from Him and you want to run back home to Him tonight, rededicate your life to Him, I invite you to raise your hand now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't see any hands. For those maybe watching on live stream or that one that did raise your hand, I just encourage you, if to make Jesus the Lord of your life, it's so simple. It's a simple act of faith, and faith comes in your heart. It's just been deposited there. Faith is released through our mouth, through the things that we say. So wherever you are, if you need to make Jesus the Lord of life, you just say, Lord, I thank You for Jesus, and I make Him the Lord of my life. I believe He died for me on the cross and rose from the dead so that I could be saved. And from this day forward, my life will never be the same. Praise the Lord. You can lift your heads. Hallelujah. God's so good, isn't He? Why don't we just magnify the name of Jesus for a minute? Father, we love You. We praise You, Lord. We worship You. Oh, we're so thankful to be children of God. We're so thankful for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love You, Lord. We love You. We praise You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. We love You. We love You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I endeavor to follow the Holy Ghost in everything we do in church, of course. I'm so thankful we're taught in churches that, of course, we're taught the Word, right? But we also know how to flow with the Spirit, to flow with what God wants us to do in any given moment. And I believe that the Lord would want me to lay hands on folks tonight that need healing in their body. We talked about healing tonight. Your faith is perked for it. Your faith is up for it, right? Maybe it's something you've been believing God for a long time. Maybe it's something that, you know, if it's just a, oh, yeah, I forgot about this, probably don't come up because you haven't been building your faith on it. No condemnation on it, but just take some time, build your faith, and then hook up with someone to believe with you. Right? Find out what the Word says about the laying on of hands. And but if you're here tonight and you have been believing God, or you know you need healing in your body tonight, I'm not sure how we do it here, but just come on up. Come on up. The ushers will guide you if you need to. And we'll lay hands on you and believe God, you'll get your healing tonight. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for victory. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you so much. We praise you here tonight. Thank you for this house of God. Lord, we lift up Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie to you. Father, we thank you, Lord, that they have full revelation of your will for their life. Father, thank you that they walk in the fullness of all that you have for them. Thank you that they have boldness and utterance in this church and in Erie as they go to minister the gospel. Thank you, Lord, that they have courage to walk out the will of God that you have for them. Thank you that they have a full and abundant supply to do all you've called them to do. Lord, we thank you so much for them and the blessing that they are to this place, to Erie, to this region, Father. The call that's on them to pastor, to nurture, to shepherd. We thank you for that. We recognize it. We give thanks for it tonight, Father. Thank you so much for all the good things that you've done for us in this life. We love you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Pastor Scott. What a wonderful word. We're going to go ahead and get ready to take up offering tonight. As we do, we all have our measure of faith, and that can increase, as Pastor was saying. But it also says, you know, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents and scorpions, it shall not harm them. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. But it also says to lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. And that's for everybody. That's everybody. If you're born again, that is your mandate. Amen. And so, you know, I love how Pastor said, you know, pull rank. Faith pulls rank because we have the name that is above every name. I like one thing that Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, had said. He goes, you know, I feel bad for people that don't have to believe God. They have everything already handed to them. Why? Because your faith is inactive when everything's right there. You know, and not to say that we, you know, are looking for a trial and a tribulation. But we know that if we live in this world, those things will come. But that looks as an opportunity. You know, count it all joy whenever you're going through diverse tests or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you would be entire, whole, lacking nothing. And so look for an opportunity. Hey, I'm counting this joy. Why? Because either he says who he is who he is, or he's not. Either the word is or it's not. You know, and we know that we have the loving Heavenly Father, that what he says, that he will manifest and bring forth. Why? Because he did it through his Son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf. So we need to take our authority and our rank. Pastor, thank you so much. What a powerful testimony. I love seeing the hand of God, you know, working through that. But we got to follow that inward witness and that knowing. You know, God is so good to see us through things, even when we miss it at times. So praise the Lord. Well, we're going to go ahead and receive our offering. We know as we sow seed into good ground that harvest is imminent. We know that it comes back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Ushers, if you'll come forward at this time. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Father, it's an opportunity to sow seed, Father, into your house. It's an honor to give unto you, Father, we thank you first and foremost that you gave us Jesus. We're so grateful. And Father, as we sow seed into good ground, we thank you that harvest comes. We just say, devil, you take your hands off our finances in the name of Jesus. Angels, you go and you cause men to pour into our bosom. We thank you, Father, for the benediction, for opportunities, financial increase. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen. Glory to God. Yes, praise the Lord. That's so, I just love it. I love the faith. I love the word of God. Amen. Whatever you're going through, get scripture on it. Build your faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Amen. And we'll be victorious. Glory to God. As the ushers are going by, why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet? Let's just worship the Lord before we dismiss here tonight. Father, we bless you. We thank you for your word. Father, we leave changed here tonight. We thank you and we're so grateful. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. You are dismissed.